Hello, everybody. This is Parashas Metzorah. We've also begun the month of Nisan. And in Halacha, it's brought down that the entire month of Nisan, we do not say Tachanun. The Mishnah Berurah explains that the reason for this is because the majority of the month of Nisan is a Yom Tov. The first 12 days of the month of Nisan is when we celebrate the inauguration of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was inaugurated during the first 12 days of the month of Nisan. Then you have Pesach in the middle. Plus, Erev Pesach is a holiday because that's when they brought the Karban Pesach. And the day after Pesach is also a holiday. It's Isser Chag. So between all that and the majority of the month is already a holiday. So therefore, the entire month we don't say Tachanun in celebration, so to speak, of that holiday. Now, what's interesting is this, that the Mishkan was inaugurated in the first 12 days of Nisan. The Medrash tells us that really the Mishkan, all the preparation, all the building, everything was ready and set to go already in the month of Kislev. Hashem specifically told Moshe to let the Mishkan wait to be built all the way until the month of Nisan. And the Medrash explains because Hashem wanted to wait till the month of Nisan because that's the month that Yitzchak, our forefather, was born in. That's the Medrash. Now, the question is, what's the significance specifically of the month that Yitzchak was born in? So many different commentaries explain different reasons, but I saw a very nice explanation in the Sefer HaTeres Tudayim from Rabbi David Zucker. And he explains as follows. He says, each one of the forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one brought out a certain aspect, a certain derech, a certain way of avodas Hashem, of serving Hashem. Yitzchak, if you look in the Psukim, Yaakov, when he makes a oath to Lavan before he leaves Lavan finally, he makes an oath bepachad aviv Yitzchak, in the pachad, which literally means the fearful one of his father Yitzchak. Drashi explains it means that he's swearing in Hashem in the aspect that his father Yitzchak brought him out. Yitzchak brought out to the highest level the idea of Yiras Hashem, of fearing God. Now, how does a person get there? How does a person have a constant fear of Hashem? Okay, a person hears an inspirational thing about Hashem. A person sees the news. He sees how scary Hashem's punishments could be. A person gets afraid, but day in and day out, to constantly be afraid of Hashem, how does a person do that? How does a person constantly have that yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that awe? The way it happens is if a person starts every day as new. Every day is a new opportunity. Every day is a new chance to serve Hashem. And then I look at Hashem anew, and I say, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the one who controls the entire world. Nothing happens in this world without you. You are so powerful, and I'm in awe of you. If I do that every day anew, and every day I look at it as a new day and a new chance to serve the Almighty, then I'll have Yira. When a person is about to serve in a Mishkan, it has to be with that attitude that every day is a new opportunity, every day is a new chance, and every day I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, the one who controls everything. That's why Hashem waited till the month of Nisan specifically, because Yitzchak brought that out, that newness, that every day I'm recognizing what's going on and what I'm doing. And that is something we have an ability to tap into the month of Nisan. Yitzchak imbued the month of Nisan with that ability. Nisan is known as the Chodesh HaAviv, the month of blossoming, of spring. It's a month that has in it the abilities of rejuvenating, restarting, refreshing, and restarting our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as new. And it's a chance to take hold of that and to tap into that ability to stop, appreciate, realize, and try again and restart our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The parasha begins with the process of the Metzorah's purification. And the Medrash on this week's parasha brings a story, a well-known story, that there was once a peddler in the town of Rabbanai. The peddler came to the town and he made a big proclamation. Who wants to buy the elixir of life? Man boi sama dechayim. And of course, everyone came running and the crowds were pushing. Everyone wanted to get a piece of this magic potion that gives life. And Rabbanai came to see as well what all the commotion was about. And he hears his peddler saying, who wants the elixir of life? Who wants this magic potion? And everyone's saying, me, 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 me. And sure enough, the peddler goes and kind of surprises everybody. And he pulls out a Sefer Tehillim and he reads, Miha ish hachafetz chayim, who is the man who desires life? Oyev yamim liraiz tov, he loves his days, he wants to see goodness. Netzar l'shayim chamera, guard your tongue from saying bad things, from speaking lashon hara. And that, says this peddler, is the way you can be guaranteed long life. That is the elixir of life. And Rabbi Yonai sees this peddler and he says, it's worth coming just for this. Rabbi Yonai in the Medrash goes on and on to explain how impressed and how new it was what this peddler told him. And all the commentaries are surprised. Rabbi Yonai definitely knew the Pasuk in Tehillim. What is it that this peddler brought out that Rabbi Yonai didn't know before? He just read a Pasuk in Tehillim. For the crowds assembled, maybe for them it was new, but for Rabbi Yonai, what's new? Rabbi Zalman Meltzer writes, he says a beautiful pshat. He says, Ibyane always understood that speaking Lashon Hara is toxic. It's poisonous. It can ruin relationships. It can ruin a person's life. It can ruin everyone around him's life. But the peddler told him something else. He said, Man bayi sama dechayim. Who wants the elixir of life? Who wants something that's going to give you positive life? Who wants something that's going to give you rewards? It's not just that staying away from speaking Lashon Hara is avoiding poison. Keeping your mouth guarded from speaking Lashon Hara is a source of blessing. It's a source of life-giving sustenance. The Vilna Gaon says that when a person keeps his mouth closed from speaking Lashon Hara, every second that he holds his mouth closed, he's zeche to brachas, yeshuas, everything a person needs in just holding his mouth shut and not saying something he shouldn't be saying. Not speaking Lashon Hara is an extremely, extremely powerful thing. They say a story, I read this in the Sefer Eitz HaTorah, that once on Purim, there was a bacher in the yeshiva of Radin who got intoxicated, as, you know, that's the mitzvah of Purim. And he came into the Chavetz Chaim's room, and he was obviously very drunk. And he said, Rebbe, I am not leaving here until you promise me I will be next to you, I'll be with you in Olam Haba. All right, so what does Chavetz Chaim respond? True literature response. He says, who said I'm going to Olam Haba? I can't promise you you're going to be with me in Olam Haba. I don't know if I'm going to get Olam Haba. And the bacher obviously didn't want to take that as the answer. And he said, I'm not leaving. And he went back and forth. And the guy wasn't leaving. And a half hour, an hour, around 2 hours, this guy's just not budging. And eventually, it's time for to eat the Purim stew. The Chavetz Chaim's got to go. And all the people around him say, just tell him he can get to the Mahaba. Just let him go anew. So the Chavetz Chaim said, I can't. I don't know for sure if I'm going to go to the Mahaba. How can I promise him that? Finally, the Chavetz Chaim thinks, he says, look, come here, Tzadikol. I don't know for sure if I'm going to go to the Mahaba. But if I do, it's going to be for the fact that since I came to the recognition, since I reached a certain level of recognition, I was careful to not speak or hear Lashon Hara ever since. And if I get to Olam Haba, it's going to be because of that. And now, I'll guarantee you, you'll be with me in Olam Haba if you accept upon yourself right now to no longer speak or hear Lashon Hara. They say that Shalom Shvadron said over this story to Reb Schneir Cutler on Purim as well. He was in America then, he was Reb Schneir Cutler's meal. And Reb Schneir Cutler said, I heard this story from my father, Byron Cutler, as well. But he added on the ending of the story. At the ending of the story, the boy couldn't do it. He couldn't promise that. So Chavetz Chaim said, a guy has an opportunity for such wealth. He's been guaranteed Olam Haba. He doesn't take it. You got to take him out of here. I can't be next to such a guy. And the Baron Cutler explained that Chavetz Chaim was saying that if a person accepts upon himself to be careful, to stop speaking Lashon Hara, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the Siyata Dishmaya, that ability, that heavenly assistance to stop speaking Lashon Hara. Rabbi said, we all need brachas, we all need yeshuas. Rabbi Yana is telling us, in the name of this peddler, in the name of David HaMelech, that the best way to get brachas, the best way to get zgulis, it's very simple. It's we control ourselves speaking Lashon Hara, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps giving, he keeps on giving brachas, and we should all be zeichet to those brachas. Part of the process of the purification of the Metzorah is that he has to be sprayed upon with holy water with three things. He needs an Eitz Erez, a branch of cedar, an Ezev, a hyssop, a long grass, and a Shnitai Las, and a red string to tie around the two of them. Now, what's interesting is you find the exact same three, so to speak, items used in the process of Parah Aduma when we spray the ash of Parah Aduma, the ash and water mixed together on the Parah Aduma to purify somebody. We also use the Eitz Erez, the Ezev, and the Shnitai Las. But what's interesting is when the Torah over there lists the three of them, the Torah first lists the cedar, then it lists the hyssop, and then it lists the red string. Yet, when it comes to the Metzorah, the Torah changes the order. The Torah first says Eitz Erez, Ushnitai Las, it says the cedar, the red string, and only then it goes back and says the hyssop. What's the difference? So I saw in the Sefer Meshulchan Gavaya, they asked Chaim Kanievsky this question. Chaim Kanievsky explained it as follows. He says, really, the logical way to list it is the way it says at Parah Aduma. You go from large to small. The cedar branch, the hyssop, and then ultimately the red string. Why by Parshas Metzorah did the Torah specifically change it? Because the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Deis that a person, if he wants to change himself, if a person has a negative character trait which he wants to uproot, it's not enough to simply go and be normal and go in the Derech HaMutzah, in the regular way. If a person has a bad character trait, he has to go to the opposite extreme to uproot it. After he goes to the opposite extreme for a while, then he can go back into the middle and be mainstream. The Torah is telling me that a Metzorah who spoke Lashon Hara, it comes, as the Midrashim tell us, as the Medrash says, it comes from gaiva. For a person to go and point out everybody else's faults and speak bad about everybody else, it comes from a feeling that I'm perfect, so therefore I have plenty to find dirt in everybody else. In order to purify himself from that, he has to work on his anivus. So he can't go to that middle level of the azayv of the hyssop. He has to go all the way down to the shnitay las, that red string, that lowly red string, and only then can he snap back into the middle, eventually, and become part of the azayv, that middle grass, that's anivus, but with balance. And that is the way a person works in any midah. If a person wants to uproot a bad character trait, says the Rambam, you got to go all the way out on the opposite, and then eventually hope to get back into the middle and to be zeichet to go in the proper balanced way. The parasha continues and tells us about the phenomenon of nigei batim, these, so to speak, these signs of the houses. There will be a concept of tzaras on the houses. The Ramban says it's a special miracle that there's people only merited when they're on the high level of kedusha, living in Eretz Yisrael. It's definitely not a natural phenomenon. Now, Rashi on the spot says that technically it was a positive thing. It was a besura taiva. The pasuk says, Hashem says, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to happen. You're going to have these signs in the houses. Says Rashi, why is it a positive thing? Because before, when the Amorim and the people who lived in the land of Canaan, before the Jews invaded, the Amorim knew that Jews were coming, and they hid their gold and silver, kind of knowing the war was going to happen, they hid their gold and silver in the walls of their houses. And the Jews wouldn't even know that they were there. So Hashem made a miracle that there would become tzaras on the walls of the house. The walls of the house would have to be broken, and they would find the gold and silver. So that's why it's considered a positive besura. Now, Tosfos in the Sefer Moshe's Kingdom asks the obvious question. He says, the Gemara tells us in Erechin, Atazayinam and Aleph, that the reason why a person gets tzaras on his house is in, so to speak, as a kapara, as an atonement for the sin of being stingy. A person is miserly. He doesn't use his house to host guests. He doesn't use his house to give food and sustenance to others. He gets punished that he gets tzaras on his home. So how could it be that we're saying it's a positive thing that a person gets tzaras on his house if it's coming for a sin? It's coming for being miserly. And the Aruch HaShulchan asks further. He says, how could it be that Hashem really wants to just give us gold and silver? He couldn't think of a more simple way. He couldn't think of a less collateral damage type of way of doing it. He had to give tzaras on the house. Everything in the house has to become tame. Everyone has to move out of the house for a week and a half, break the house, rebuild the house. It seems very, very, very not smooth. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't do it in the easier way? And the truth is, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I saw the same teretz in Sefer Eitz HaTorah, is that you're right. Both questions kind of answer each other. If a person was a true tzaddik, a complete tzaddik, and he had no averus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make it, he would find the money in a clean, easy, painless way. It's only for a person who suffers from the sin of being miserly that there has to be a tzaras on the walls of a house, and he has to go through the process of breaking the house and all the encumbrances of tumas negayim on a house. But the Torah is teaching us a very important lesson, that when a person gets reprimanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a person yisurim to punish him for doing something he did wrong, it's not out of hate, it's not out of spite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us through and through, and when he punishes us, there's always that sugar coating, there's always that prize at the end, that if we fix ourselves up, if we pick ourselves up and we change, there's going to be a good side at the end of the Einish. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. The Besura Taiva is that even when you mess up, even when you do Averus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a chance to fix yourself up, to go through the process of getting yourself better, and then the rewards are going to be so great, they'll outdo any of the suffering that you had to endure in the punishment itself. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us, and that's how he loves us. And no matter how he punishes us, if we listen to him and we do what's right, we'll always gain at the end. I want to end off with one last part. This Shabbos is also Shabbos HaGadol. And the Torah in Siman Tav Lamed says the reason why we call the Shabbos for Pesach Shabbos HaGadol is because when the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, that year Shabbos was the 10th of Nisan. And they took the sheep for the Karban Pesach 4 days before. And that was 10th of Nisan, so they took it on that Shabbos. And when the Mitzrayim saw them taking the sheep, they asked them, what are they taking it for? And they told them, we're going to slaughter it in 4 days for a Karban, which was obviously a very, very big very not nice thing to do to the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim got very, very upset. They're slaughtering their idol. And the Mitzrayim were powerless to do something against them. And that was a miracle. The miracle that these slaves were able to, so to speak, openly rebel against their masters. And it happened on Shabbos. And to commemorate that miracle, we celebrate Shabbos HaGadol every year. Now, the commentators will ask, the Marshal and others, that every other holiday in the Jewish world always goes based on the date, not the day of the week. Why, when it comes to Shabbos HaGadol, do we not celebrate on 10th of Nisan? Instead, we always celebrate on the Shabbos before Pesach. And many Pshatim have been given. The Prisha in Siman Tav Lamed brings a pshat from the Levush. The Levush says as follows. He says, because the way the miracle happened was because of Shabbos. He brings the famous Medrash in Shmais Rabbah that the Jewish people, even when they were in Egypt, already kept Shabbos in some form. They kept Shabbos, and the Mitzrayim knew the Jews didn't handle animals on Shabbos. They didn't make knots on Shabbos. And when they saw the Jews taking a sheep on Shabbos and making a knot on Shabbos, they asked, what are you doing? Shabbos, what are you doing? And the Jews told them that, no, we're taking the sheep. We're shechting it for your avodah zarah, and they're not making a real knot. It's a kesher that's not meant to last, etc., etc., etc. Since the nis was instigated because of the Jewish Shmir Shabbos, we constantly celebrate it on Shabbos. That's the pshat of the prisha. I want to just add on, it's something I saw in Drash Moshe. Moshe Feinstein says that there's a very, very important distinction. We find two foundational points of our amunah in halacha. We have Shabbos, and we have Pesach. Shabbos is when a Jew proclaims that he believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Pesach is when Hashem showed himself in Egypt that he runs the world. He didn't just create it and move on. He's constantly involved. He gives retribution. He's constantly active, and he constantly could change it at his will. Paroi believed to some extent in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability as a god to control stuff. He saw the makos. He saw the miracles that happened. He just felt that maybe there's others. Maybe God's not the only one. Maybe Hashem's not the only one. Maybe there's other gods. Maybe there's multiple gods. If I wait this out, maybe things will change and I'll get in touch with the other god and pay him off. When a person recognizes Shabbos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the only one, he created everything from scratch, then a person realizes the mistake of Paroi. When a person celebrates Pesach, he realizes the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly enabled and involved. You need both of them together. Shabbos HaGadol, says Rav Moshe, is because this is the greatest Shabbos. It's the Shabbos that precedes Pesach. It's a Shabbos that brings out both of the fundamentals of a Jew's faith. It brings out Hashem's creation of the world, and followed by Pesach HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activity and constant involvement in the world. And I think that's the deeper meaning, what the preacher is saying, that it had to happen through Shabbos. The catalyst, the beginning of the whole nace of the final redemption of Mitzrayim happened through Shabbos. The Mitzrayim got smacked in the face because of Shabbos, and then ultimately Klal Yisrael left on Pesach to celebrate both of those facts, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he constantly runs the world, and we should all be zeichet to tap into that this Shabbos and Emet Hashem on Pesach, and to strengthen ourselves and to restart and to regrow and build up that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a wonderful Shabbos.